Hey everyone, it's Trey, and welcome back to the Stingers and Dingers podcast, episode 2. Today is September 15th, 2019, and today we are going to go through a summary of this week in golf. This week included the Greenbrier Classic, a couple interesting stories from there, the Solheim Cup, as well as a scare from Justin Thomas, and Rory McIlroy topping Brooks for Player of the Year. So to start off, Justin Thomas on Thursday posted a Instagram post talking about a skin cancer scare he had with his left leg. He posted a screenshot of it looks like stitches on the back of his left calf. And in the caption, he talks about having melanoma in his left leg, at least early stages. He says, "Luckily, we found it at a time where there should be no problems going forward. That being said, everyone get checked. This is a serious issue. You know, golfing is out in the sun a lot of the time, and a lot of people either don't wear sunscreen or didn't when they were kids. I know I certainly didn't wear it as much as I probably should have, and I cake it on now pretty much. But just a note, everyone, you know, if you're playing golf on the weekends, you know, wear sunscreen. If you see a spot, get it checked, because you never know. I mean, this happened to a professional, right? You know, this happened to guys who this is their job to play, and as much time as they're spending out in the sun, they should definitely be monitoring this. So, sombering thought here, but you know, hopefully he recovers well from that, from the surgery. It looks like the gash is probably like 5 or 6 inches long. It's actually a pretty big piece of skin that they took out. But glad to hear that he's on the up and up. So hopefully good things to come from Justin Thomas in the future. In another interesting topic of the week, we had the Rory McIlroy topping Brooks Koepka to win the PGA Tour Player of the Year award. So on Wednesday afternoon, tour officials did announce that Rory McIlroy secured the Player of the Year award. This is the third time he's gotten it. It's been kind of sporadic throughout his career. He ultimately topped Brooks, Matt Kuchar, and Koepka in a vote by the players for the Jack Nicklaus Award. So this is an interesting one because what I had been hearing was that Brooks by far and away was going to be taking it because of his performance in the majors. You know, obviously Rory did win the actual championship for the FedEx Cup at the end of the year, so definitely made a bunch of money there. But in terms of his performance for the year in the majors, I do believe that Brooks outperformed him. I don't necessarily think that, you know, Brooks is much more deserving of the award, but if we're looking at it in terms of performance in majors and in overall tournaments, I think you got to take a look at Brooks's year, especially for the majors that he played in. He was just so on top of everything there. Xander and Matt, totally understand why they didn't win. You know, Xander had a hell of a year. Same with Matt. This is one of Matt's best years out on tour. But it's interesting, right? Because it's also voted by the PGA Tour players. So I think there was a big balance put on the amount of money that he won throughout the year, because he did win $15 million right at the end of the year there. So pretty crazy. You know, congrats to Rory. Congrats to all of the runners up. Obviously, a pretty big, illustrious award there. And there's actually a pretty fascinating and funny video on YouTube of Jack Nicklaus asking Rory to lunch and then a bunch of trophies being put on the table and Rory's really confused. And then he basically gets announced that he had won the PGA Tour Player of the Year award, which is, you know, a statue of Jack, obviously, from back in the day. So, pretty cool video. Go look it up on YouTube. I think PGA Tour is the one who has it on their YouTube channel. So, congrats, Rory. All right, now we're going to get into the Greenbrier. So, a lot of stories coming up from this. First off, the winner of the Greenbrier was Joaquin Niemann. I'm poor pronouncing last names, but congrats. He shot 21 under par. The next lowest was Tom Hoge at minus 15, so six-shot win. He won $1.3 million compared to Tom Hoge's second place with $800K. So I believe he's a rookie too, which is pretty awesome to see there. So congrats to him. That's a big, big win. Guarantees a spot at the Masters this coming year, which will be really cool there. In terms of other, you know, big performers in here, it was great to see Kevin Chappell come back. Kevin Chappell was out with a spinal injury. He had surgery on his spine at the end of last year, so this is his first tournament back, and I believe it was like 10 or 11 months. Had a really good showing, especially with his second day. For those of you who don't know, he shot a 59 at the Greenbrier, which is the 11th sub-60 round in PGA Tour history. So really cool to see that, especially, you know, someone coming back from a pretty catastrophic injury and surgery. You know, dealing with everything spinal is pretty serious. So That's awesome to see there. I think he ended up not placing that great. I think he had a challenging weekend. Let me see if I can find him real quick. Kevin Chappell ended up placing, yeah, tied for 47th. So, his rounds were 71, 59, 73, 72. So just couldn't hold it together for those other three rounds he played, but had a fantastic 59 in the mix there. But for coming back after, surgery, great to see that he's, back in the mix. I know the Four Play Podcast guys will be, chirping and happy to see him back in the mix, especially after shooting that 59 there. Cool. So, in terms of the rest of the Greenbrier, another odd story this week, just kind of out of the ordinary. So for those of you who didn't see this, so Mark Leishman had to withdraw from the Greenbrier Classic this week. So this happened, I believe it was Wednesday or Tuesday. So he played in the Pro-Am. It had been Wednesday because he played in the Pro-Am. But he had been dealing with some spinal issues. He had, I think, three or four bulging discs, which had been giving him some pain. He didn't feel like he needed to go into surgery, at least at that point in time, or go into recovery. So he kept playing through it over the last, however many months. But during Wednesday's Pro-Am, he was actually struck in the back with an approach shot from one of his playing partners, so one of the amateur playing partners. There was no video of this. This is all, I guess, secondhand from what everyone saw. But apparently, he was struck by an errant approach shot on the right side of his lower back at about 100 yards away. And he ended up having to withdraw from the tournament. Now, this is something you just really hate to see with any player. One, I think, getting hurt is never good. But especially something like this, right, where you're having someone who has no stake in the tournament and an amateur who probably paid to be in the pro-am, but isn't actually making any money or anything. But having them hit a PGA Tour player is it's tough. And I think there's a couple of things. I think one is that I think sometimes the players don't realize that they need to be paying attention, especially if their playing partners aren't very good. If they're like a 25 handicapper and might have the shanks. Got to be a little more prepared than normal. So obviously a huge bummer here. I hope that he is able to. I really hope he's able to come back from this. It's tough. It's tough. He ended up shooting a 6 over par on Thursday and to withdraw, and he was trying to fight through the pain, but this set him over the edge. That's a massive bummer, but hopefully he can take care of himself and get back in the mix. Obviously, kind of a favorite on tour, being an Aussie and all that. So we're wishing Mark Leishman the best. Hopefully, he comes back within the next week or so. Also, within the Greenbrier, there are a couple of other interesting pieces. So this article is coming from Golf WRX, talking about some of the interesting photos and equipment that was at the Greenbrier. So a couple of things that stood out to me was Kevin Chappell is actually playing with a Golf Pride SNSR putter grip on his driver. So this is actually pretty interesting because it's basically a it's a non what's what I'm looking for. It's almost like a full cylinder. There's not really any grating to it, so it's not like it gets smaller at the bottom and larger at the top. But he's playing with it, and I wonder if it has something to do with having the better ability to control the face versus a normal grip, which is more tapered. That's the word I'm looking for, tapered. But something you really just don't see very often, especially from a good player. You see something funky like this. So curious to hear if anyone heard from Kevin Chappell, if there's any thoughts on that. Or why he's doing it, but thought I'd call that out. The next thing is that some of the new Seymour putter models were spotted at the Greenbrier. So for those of you who don't know, Seymour is coming back to life. Zach Johnson's been playing Seymour putters for God knows how long. But we have some new ones coming out from them. They are less of that matte finish and look to be more silvery and metallic. So I'd be curious as to how they actually look. They have some of the new shafts on them that are supposed to be balanced better and counterbalanced versus just the standard tapered steel shaft. So interested to see how those come out into retail. Also, Odyssey's new Stroke Lab putters came out. Stroke Lab 10, I think, is what they're calling them. It's basically a spider copy. There's been a lot of companies lately that have been coming out with spider alternatives. There's the Futura X that Scotty Cameron's been making lately. There's the new Stroke Lab 10 putters. I wonder why they're doing this, if there's like a technological reason to do this, if there's a performance reason to do this. I do like the look of the new Stroke Lab 10s. I don't know if I like it any more than the Spiders. I've never really played a big mallet. I've always played a blade or a squareback. I play a squareback style putter currently. So I wouldn't necessarily put this in the bag myself, but I'd be curious to try it out and see if it would benefit me in any way. I believe, you know, what they're chasing after is the low center of gravity, you know, craze that's been hitting a lot of the putters lately. You know, Even Roll's been a big part of that. Odyssey, Scotty's been a big part of that. So curious as, you know, if any players end up picking this up, or, you know, if the Odyssey team will still play the number sevens that they've been playing for years. And then the last thing on here that I wanted to bring up was there were some prototype wedges from some players on the Vokey side. So Rafa Campos had a Bob Vokey proto wedge in a 60-degree. It was a grind that I wasn't necessarily familiar with. It's a V-grind. It looks similar to an S-grind, but maybe a little more taken off the toe and the heel. You know, a little more taken off the toe and heel shaved off of there. And the last thing is the Chris Ventura 60-degree SM7 that is custom. I haven't seen before. It's a M grind that has, it looks like there's more shaved off of the toe. But yeah, some interesting clubs coming out of the Greenbrier, and probably some more funky ones to see. Oh, this is also a cool one. The last thing is TaylorMade original one, that mini driver that came out. I believe it came out this year, earlier this year. Was spotted in Grayson Murray's bag, so he was playing it, which I thought was pretty interesting. Wonder if there's a reason behind that, if he got better numbers or could control it better. But interesting to see that people are, you know, actually putting that into play. Personally, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It fits kind of between a driver and a three wood, and if you already have a good three wood, or if you have a good driver, then what would be the point? So that's always pretty interesting as well. But that's pretty much it for the Greenbrier. If you wanted to find any of the articles that I talked about for the Greenbrier, just look on to the ESPN score summary or go onto GolfWRX and search Greenbrier. You should be able to find all of the articles as well as the photos that I have been talking about for the last couple of minutes. All right, and then the last piece is the Solheim Cup. So sadly, the Europeans ended up winning the Solheim Cup. You know, I'm American. I want the Americans to win. But Europe ended up winning 14.5 to 13.5 in a pretty, you know, crazy fashion here. Suzanne Pettersson holed a putt on 18 to actually win in her final singles match. So congrats to her. Congrats to the European team. That's a hell of a way to win a tournament. Super excited for them to win that. I think it's been, you know, they've been on the short end of the stick. You know, the Americans have won it a majority of the time. So seeing the Europeans win it on their home track is pretty nice. It looks like they got some pretty good weather at Glen Eagles too. You know, Glen Eagles is in Scotland, I believe, and it's, you know, pretty windy, pretty cold, and rainy all the time. So, you know, they had some good weather and were able to perform well. Looking through the summary, you know, there's a couple things that stand out. One is that Suzanne Pettersson had an 8-foot putt on the final hole to determine if the trophy was going to stay with America, because if it ties, it goes back with that country who had it previously, or if Europe was going to win it. So awesome to see that, you know, they were able to make it like really tense towards the end in a clutch putt. You know, blowouts are never fun. You know, it's always fun to keep it close. In terms of the Americans that played well, from what I had seen, it looks like Lexi was having a hard time with her back and wasn't really performing as well as she would have liked to. So that's obviously a little bit challenging. America had a lot of rookies. I think they had 6 rookies that were playing in it. So, you know, it's hard to win with a bunch of rookies sometimes because they don't know what match play is like, especially with alternate shot. So alternate shot is something that's played a lot more in Europe and played a lot more in junior tournaments. I don't think I've ever even played an alternate shot tournament in the United States, and I've played a lot of tournament golf. So just not that common. Match play is pretty common, though. There's a lot of, you know, match play championships. You know, the USAM and all those amateur championships have a match play element to them. So pretty comfortable with that on the American side. But the alternate shot is just something that is just so different from what the rest of America is used to. But congrats to Europe. Congrats to Suzanne Pettersson on that awesome putt to win. Super exciting there. I'm trying to think of where, let's see where the 2021 Solheim Cup 2021. Solheim Cup. 2021 Solheim Cup will be at Iverness Golf Club. So, you know, coming back to the States, it'll be at Iverness Golf Club. I'm not sure where Iverness is. Is that in Florida? Oh, no. Iverness is in Toledo, Ohio. So, coming back to the heartland of the United States, hopefully we can win it back then. And, you know, now that we had some rookies get some time and get some experience, we'll be able to come into this tournament and or come into the competition and play better as a team. So, excited for that. In terms of the other summaries for golf this week, Sergio Garcia won the KLM tournament out in Amsterdam this year. That's a Euro Tour event. You know, not much really to say there. I don't necessarily have a much of an opinion on Sergio lately. He's been kind of a controversial character on the course as of lately. You know, throwing clubs at his caddy, beating up bunkers, you know, damaging greens. Not the best role model, so that's a little bit tough. But you know, I guess congrats to him on winning there. In terms of the rest of the tournament, Callum Shinkwin had a share of the lead the final day, shot 74 to end up tying at fifth, which is a little disappointing for him. So that's tough there. Not really many other standing names on that list. Usually if you're a really solid player, a really good player that's already got your card locked up, you're usually holding off until later events within the year, and then letting some of the younger and newer people take shots at winning or playing in the tournaments. Same thing with the Greenbrier. Greenbrier is usually played by people who just got their cards from the Korn Ferry Tour and are coming in. So, interesting to see, who ends up playing in these early ones versus some of the later ones, because for the new guys, it could be a long season playing 30 tournaments or so. Anyways, that is it. Pretty brief episode for this week. If you liked the episode, please subscribe. Definitely helps me out a lot. Share with your friends, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.